Welcome to the Vision Church podcast. We pray that you're inspired by the teaching of the Word of God from Pastor Tyson Coughlin. If you've been blessed by the ministry of Vision Church and would like to support our ministry, you can do so by going to visionchurch.com and then selecting the Give tab. We want to thank you for checking in today. And now please prepare your heart for the Word of God.
If you have your Bible today, turn with me to Exodus chapter 2. Beginning in verse 16, Exodus chapter 2, beginning in verse 16. I want to take a second, like we do every week, and that's to glorify the name of Jesus above every other name. This morning we've gathered to lift up one name, and it is the name of Jesus that is highly exalted above every other name. At the mention of that name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Nobody else deserves our praise and our affection. Nobody but Jesus. You believe that? All right. Exodus chapter 2, beginning in verse 16, we are continuing into the second week of our series titled, I Am. I believe through the conclusion of this series that God is going to bring clarity. He's going to bring confidence to your God-given purpose and identity. Exodus chapter 2, verse 16, we're picking up in the life of Moses shortly after he has killed an Egyptian and is fleeing into the wilderness to escape the consequences of Pharaoh. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters who came as usual to draw water and to fill the water troughs of their father's flocks. But some other shepherds came and chased them away. So Moses jumped up and rescued the girls from the shepherds. Then he drew water for their flocks. When the girls returned to Reuel, their father, he asked, why are you back so soon today? Now watch this, verse 19. An Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds, they answered. And he drew the water for us and watered our flocks. Now that's all I want to read to you right there from Exodus chapter 2. Pretty interesting dialogue here. Now listen, the book of Exodus is completely loaded and full of life-changing, powerful verses. And this is likely not one of them, okay? This is likely one of those passages in Exodus that you kind of just read right through. You just kind of brush through it and you miss the power of it. But this morning in the week two of I Am series, we're going to be hanging our hat right here on this passage because I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to reveal truth in this and he wants to dynamically move in your life. And I'm believing that it's going to be incredible in your life today. Now, I want to recap this really quickly. Moses, he is born a Hebrew, but he is raised an Egyptian. He is raised by Pharaoh's daughter in the palace of Pharaoh in Egypt. He goes out at about the age of 40 years old, and he sees an Egyptian slave driver beating a Hebrew slave. And so in Moses' anger and frustration, he comes and he kills the Egyptian and buries him in the sand. And then he flees into the wilderness to escape the judgment of Pharaoh. And while he's in the wilderness, one of the first things that happens is he comes to this well that we read about in Midian. And Reuel is the priest of Midian, and he had seven daughters. And they're there watering their flock, and then these joker shepherds come and chase them away. And then Moses shows up and drives the shepherds away and then takes care of Reuel's daughters. Now, here's the epic part about this. In verse 19, Reuel says to his daughters, how are you back so quickly? What happened that you're already finished? And they say to him, an Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds. Now, that might sound nice and ordinary to you, but there's only one problem. Moses was not an Egyptian. Moses was a Hebrew, yet the daughters of Midian label him an Egyptian. How many of you know that in this life, people are always ready, willing, and able to throw a label on you, whether it is the right label or not? The seven daughters of Reuel, when they saw Moses, they didn't even know him, but he looked like an Egyptian. He probably had the dialect of an Egyptian, and so therefore they rushed to conclusions and put a label on him and said, that man is an Egyptian. How many of you understand the world will always put labels on you? There's something about the world that they're always wanting to put a label on you. They're not even interested in getting to know you, but they'll put a label right on you. Whether it's right or whether it's wrong, they'll put it right on you. Moses was not an Egyptian. He was a Hebrew. The blood that coursed through his veins was that of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was no Egyptian, yet he is labeled that by the daughters of Reuel. The world rushes to conclusions, and they label us based on our appearance and based on our behaviors. And I don't know if I'm talking to anybody this morning, but can you identify with the world rushing to conclusions when they look at your life? People that barely even know you will label you, call you a hypocrite, call you a liar, call you a failure. They're quick to throw labels on you before they ever take the time to know you. And I'm here this morning to talk to you about the labels that the world puts on you. Because the truth is that many of us have bought into the false identities that have been slapped across us. We have bought into the lies. We've bought into the labels that people have accused us of. I think it's ironic that the daughters of Midian, they didn't even know Moses. They didn't even know his name, yet they label him an Egyptian. And isn't it funny that often people who barely even know you are the very ones who rush to judgment in calling you and labeling you in your life? Am I talking to anybody? Do you understand the words coming out of my mouth? Has anybody called you something that you're not? Has anybody called you a failure, an addict? Has anybody put a label on your life that is unbefitting? Has anybody ever misdiagnosed you based on their first impression? Has anybody ever rushed to conclusion when they see you? All right, good. I'm talking to the church today. I'm talking to me too. But this is the word of the Lord this morning for us, is that the Lord wants you to be delivered from the labels that society has put on your life. Because there are many of us, even in the church, we are confused and we are disoriented. We do not know who we are. We do not know our purpose. And we have believed the labels and the lies that other people have thrown on us. When the daughters of Reuel, when they called Moses an Egyptian, you have to understand that Egypt represents the land of sin, but he was really a Hebrew, a child of God. Moses really was a child of the Most High, but yet he got labeled a son of sin. He got labeled an Egyptian when really he was a Hebrew. This morning, I want you to know that there is no power in the label unless you actually believe it. Look at your neighbor with a little bit of attitude and tell them there's no power to the label. Tell them like you mean it. There's no power in the label. I could walk up to you and say, congratulations, you are the president of the United States. And as much as you might like that, or a change of office, it won't do anything. My label that I throw on you isn't gonna do a single thing. My label that I throw on you, I could call you anything in the world I want to. My label is powerless unless you actually believe it. The things that people speak over you, they're powerless unless you believe it. Our words are like seeds. And when they are sown into the hearts and into the minds of people, if they are watered, if they are nourished, they will eventually germinate, take root, grow, and contaminate your mind. What I've come to tell you this morning is that if somebody has spoken a negative label, a negative word, they've called you something, they've called you a failure, they've called you inadequate, uneducated, unqualified, the labels that people have spoken over your life, I'm here today to tell you that they are powerless in your life unless you water them, unless you give them attention, unless you focus on them. If you focus on the labels that people have called you, if you believe in the words that they have spoken over you, they will eventually take life and they will alter the course and the direction of your destiny. Don't pay attention to the labels that the world has spoken over you. The world is great at misdiagnosing the people of God, as we see in Exodus 2. This morning, we've got to starve the labels, starve the seed that has been planted in our mind. The problem is that many of us, when somebody labels us and somebody speaks condemnation over us, we replay it over and over and over again. I'm going to give you an example really quick. A few years ago, as we were about in the third year of this church plant, okay? And this, it's been a difficult journey. It really has been. There's been a lot of ups and a lot of downs and a lot of I don't know what I'm doing, and which you shouldn't be surprised by that. But anyway, I had somebody, I'll never forget it, I had somebody come to our office, and there was a group of us there. And in anger, they lashed out at me, and they said, "You are not a pastor. You are not gifted to do this. You are not called to do this. You need to quit. You need to give it up. And you need to go do something else." You know, and in the moment, I'm just like, well, I want to knock you out. But I didn't, you know, anger, don't sin. Anger, don't sin. All right? It's not wrong to anger. Just don't sin. Just don't act up. Anyway, but that accusation, that label, "You are not a pastor. You don't have what it takes. You're just a speaker, Tyson. You're just a preacher. You're not a pastor. You're just a speaker." At first, like, it bothered me. But then I was like, no, no, no. I'll just let it go. I'll let it go. But there would be another. I would make a mistake. I would say something wrong. I would do something wrong. And then that label would creep back up in my mind again. That thought would find its way back into my life. And every time I gave it attention, it grew stronger. Every time I fed into that word, every time I fed into that label, it grew stronger and stronger in my life, to the point where I began to question, and I even began to wonder myself, am I really called to do this? Am I really in the right place? Am I really doing the right thing? And one negative word that somebody misdiagnosed, because I gave it attention, it germinated and gave life into me. I began to second guess myself, second guess my calling, my sermons. It began to affect who I was. But there came a moment in my life where I had to realize that I had been misdiagnosed, and the label that was slapped on me was from man and it was not from God. So I had to cast down every imagination, every label, every false identity that had been spoken over me, so that I could have the confidence to stand before God and his people and do the work that he had called me to do. And I don't know if you're in this place this morning and somebody has told you that you're never going to amount to anything. Maybe somebody has told you you'll never be more than what your father was. You'll never be more than what your mother was. Maybe somebody has spoken doubt in your life and it has altered the trajectory of your life. The Holy Spirit has sent me here by assignment today to tell you that these false identities do not belong in your life any longer. What man has labeled you, God supersedes it. His word transcends every negative, every demeaning thought and word a person has ever spoken in your life. If you're thankful for the power of the word, I just wish you'd give the Lord praise like you mean it. I'm going to starve my labels. I'm going to starve the negativity in my life. I'm not going to allow myself to focus on the criticisms of men and what they've spoken over me. No longer will I allow the words and the opinions of people I barely even know to hurt me, to define me, to redirect me. No longer. This is the year that I am free and I walk in the power of who he says I am. Look with me back to Exodus 2:11. Exodus chapter 2, verse 11. "Many years later, when Moses had grown up, he went out to visit his own people, the Hebrews, and he saw how hard they were forced to work. During his visit, he saw an Egyptian beating one of his own Hebrews. After looking in all directions to make sure nobody was watching, Moses killed the Egyptian and hid his body in the sand." Now, I just cited that verse a moment ago, but I wanted to read it to you because there's an important principle here that we must understand, and that is that our identity directs our behavior. I'm going to say that one more time. Our identity directs our behavior. Did you read Exodus 2? Moses said, I'm going to go out for a walk with my people, the Hebrews, identifying himself not as an Egyptian, but as a Hebrew. And as he walks, he sees an Egyptian oppressing one of his own. And because Moses identified as a Hebrew, his identity directed his actions. His identity directed his behavior. And because of who he was, his actions followed suit with his identity. Our identity has a direct correlation to the behaviors, the attitudes, the decisions that we make in our life. Our behaviors are a direct reflection of our identity. Whatever I do is really a reflection of who I believe I am. That's why there's an assault on your identity. Because if the enemy can confuse you and disorient you, and you can be lost, dazed, and confused, unsure of who God has purposed you to be, your behavior, your decisions, your life will look chaotic and sporadic because our identity is directly correlated to our behavior. Proverbs 23:7 says it this way, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." I'm going to say that one more time. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. In other words, the way in which you perceive yourself has a direct impact on the decisions and the actions that you make in the body. The Bible says that from the heart flow the issues of life. What you believe about yourself will eventually manifest in your actions and in your decisions. And a lot of times in the church, we just want to treat the symptoms and we want to talk about their behaviors. We want to talk to you about stop drinking, stop cussing, and stop sleeping with women who aren't your wife. All right? We want to talk about the symptoms, but really it's not about the symptoms. It's not about the behaviors. It's about your identity. The problem isn't with what you're doing. The problem is with how you see yourself, because you clearly don't know who you are. Because if you recognized the value that was inside of you, if you understood who you were in the eyes of God, if you could see yourself the way he sees you, your actions would dramatically change, because you would see your life as worth living, worth caring for, a life that is greater than the ordinary. And if your identity gets right, your life will get right. Anybody believe what I'm saying today? Every new year, people come up with all these resolutions. Well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to get jacked. You know, whatever it is. You know, either side of the spectrum. Jack means to get strong, buffed up, don't get weird on me. But now hear me though. All of those things, I need to lose more weight, or I need to get ripped, okay, whatever it is. All of that you're talking about stems from your identity. It stems from the way you perceive yourself. It stems from the way you see who you are. And the reason that most of our resolutions don't stick is because we're focused on the behavior. I got to do more push-ups. I got to stop eating at Chick-fil-A all the time. Whatever it is, we focus. Don't stop Chick-fil-A, y'all. Don't stop that, please. I mean, cut something else out. I should have got an amen on that. Come on, somebody. Anyway, we're focused on trimming the behaviors, but we've never started seeing ourselves in a new light. We're trying to manufacture something, but we've never really started to see ourselves for who we really are. And remember that your behaviors are a byproduct of your identity. So the sooner you begin to see yourself the way he sees you, your behaviors will begin to change. The reason we can't stick to anything is because we're trying to do new behaviors with an old mindset. There's got to be a change. Look at your neighbor with a little attitude and just tell him, it's time to change. It's time to see yourself the way he sees you. You'll never change your behavior until you change the way you see yourself. We got to stop treating the symptoms. I'm about to show you something epic. Look with me really quickly to Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Tell your neighbor, this is about to get real in here. All right, because I had to lay the foundation to get you here. All right, I had to just do all that stuff to get your mind right for right here. Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time the devil came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, then tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus told him, "No, for the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off, for scriptures say he will order the angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." Jesus responded, "The scriptures also say you must not tempt the Lord your God." Now, I don't know if you caught on to what I'm trying to show you in Matthew 4, but Satan is after your identity. What did Satan say to Jesus in Matthew 4? "If you are who you say you are, then jump off from this high place and the angels will catch you." If you really are the Son of God. He was questioning and challenging his identity. He was saying, "If you really are the Son of God, then turn these stones into loaves of bread." He was challenging the identity of Jesus because he understands that from our identity, our behaviors follow. From our identity, our actions and our decisions flow. So if he could convince Jesus or dilute his identity, then he could divert his destiny. And so what the enemy is doing in your life is he is getting you to second guess, are you really who you say you are? Are you really a Christian? Are you really a believer? Are you really saved? Did Jesus really forgive you? Did he really die for you on the cross? Are you really who you say you are? He challenges and questions our identity because at the core of our identity are our decisions and our actions manifest. Satan is challenging the identity of Jesus in Matthew 4, and he challenges your identity, for he knows that that is what drives the decisions that we make. That's why there's an assault on our identity today, now more than ever. I don't know if you read the paper or you look at the news or you have a pulse, but in our world today, there is more confusion about our identity than ever before. People now are saying that basic human biology doesn't define identity. They're saying, well, he might be born a boy or she might be born a girl, but don't rush to conclusions. Let them decide. Say, what? So anyway, that's too deep for me. That's over my pay grade. But what I'm trying to say is that in all seriousness, our world today is attacking the identity of humanity now more than ever. Why does the undercurrent of our world challenge the identity of humanity? Because if we don't know who we are, we don't know what we stand for, we don't know what morals, what values to abide by, if we don't know who we are, then the decisions that will flow from our life will be haphazard, chaotic, in the moment, and driven by our feelings, not our identity. Today, people define themselves by all sorts of things that are not adequate labels. People define themselves by their addictions. They define themselves by their sexual orientation. People say, well, I'm an alcoholic. Well, I'm a drug addict. Well, I'm a this, I'm a that. People define themselves by their sexual orientation. Well, I'm homosexual. Well, I'm bi. Well, I'm whatever. People define themselves by their geography. Well, I'm a hillbilly. I self-identify as a hillbilly. I'm from West Virginia. So anyway, people identify with all sorts of things, and they build their whole identity around their geography. Well, I like country music because that's where I'm from. I don't really, but some people do. But what I'm trying to show you is that we are attaching our identity to things that are temporal. We are attaching our identity to things that are not meaningful, that are not substantive, that things that are finite. But you are not defined by those things. You are not defined by your behavior. You are not defined by your bank account. You are not defined by where you're from. You are not defined by your addictions. You are not defined by your past or by your mistakes. Our identity is found in Him and in Him alone. In Him alone. Now watch this. Every time Satan questioned and challenged the identity of Jesus, if you really are the Son of God, then do this. If you really are who you say you are, then do that. Every time Satan challenged the identity of Jesus, Jesus responded how? By saying, "It is written. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It is written that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." In other words, Jesus was saying, my identity is anchored in the word of the living God. My identity is not in this world. My identity is not on the labels or the second guessing that you've tried to put on me. My identity is not based on how I feel in the moment, feeling weak, feeling hungry, feeling impoverished. My identity is anchored in the word of the living God, and that is where I run when I question who I am. 1.5 people on the right believe what I'm saying. Do you believe that your identity is anchored in the Word of God? Last week, one of the main emphases was you will never know who you are until you know who He is. And I know that sounds cliche, but think about it for a second. It was after His image that you were fashioned and you were made. It was after His likeness that you were created and given life. The Creator authorizes identity, value, purpose, destiny. It's all wrapped up in Him. And until you know who He is, you will never know who you are. Our identity and our purpose is found in the Word of the living God. We are anchored in the Word. No matter how we feel, our identity is found in it. I want to show you something amazing. Chapter 2, verse 20. There's not 20 chapters in Galatians, so just chapter 2. This is powerful, y'all. What I'm about to show you is powerful. I'm not going to preach forever, so don't get nervous. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. My identity is found in Jesus. Now look, when we say that, it sounds really good on Sunday. Just being real, sounds good when you're talking into a mic. Our identity is found in Jesus. But what does that really look like? What does that really mean? What does it mean on Monday, on Wednesday, on Thursday afternoon? What does it mean for my identity to be found in Him? Glad you asked. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. My identity, your identity, is not found in your preference. It is not found in your ideas. It is not found in your ambitions. Our identity is found in Jesus and in Him alone. Because when I was born again, I died to myself. I died to who I used to be. I died to what I wanted. I died to the purpose that I had intended. I am no longer the captain of my own soul. Now my identity is found in Jesus. I am in Him and He is in me. So now when I live this life, it's no longer about what would Tyson do or what would Tyson say. No, because Tyson died long ago. When I was born again, former things passed away and all things were made new. Now, my identity is not in who I am or what I want or what I think or my opinion. My identity is now anchored in the person of Jesus. And do you remember like 10 years ago or 15 years ago when they would wear those little bracelets that were like WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, I think we need to bring those suckers back because we need to start finding our identity in what would Jesus do and what would Jesus say? Because now it is Christ who lives in me. It is the hope of glory in me. It is the Holy Spirit in fallible earthen vessels. It is the excellency of our God that flows through us. So you trying to figure out who you are? Stop with all that. You should have died to yourself long ago. The pursuit is no longer who am I. The pursuit is who is he. How did Jesus treat that beggar? Well, that's how I ought to treat that beggar. How did Jesus treat that person who was his enemy? Well, that's how I ought to treat my enemy. How did Jesus respond to his haters? Well, that's how I ought to respond to my haters. What did Jesus do? What did Jesus say? How did Jesus live? And that's all you need to know. Because the more you know about Jesus, the more you unlock who you were meant to be, who you were destined to be. It is no longer I, but it is Christ in me, the hope of glory. If you're taking notes, I want you to write one more place down. I promised you wouldn't be long, and I wasn't kidding. Galatians 5:22. As the band comes back to help me out, I want to show you one more thing really quickly. Well, two more. I lied about the first one. Two. Can you give me two? Even if you can't, I got the mic, so here, you're held hostage. And after all, we're in Exodus. You know, Pharaoh wouldn't let God's people go either. All right, hey, but for real, that's so corny, so lame. I'm sure I'll get a text about that later. Anyway, turn with me to Galatians 5:22. Because, you know, it's one thing for us to be like, live like Jesus. It's going to be great. But sometimes that's abstract. And sometimes you need a little more definition. You need a little more detail to apply it to your life. So if you ever wonder, who is Jesus? If you ever wonder about the personality traits or the characteristics of Jesus, our new identity, it's found in Galatians 5:22 that is labeled the fruits of the Spirit. Remember, this is the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, all one God revealed three ways. So the attributes of the Holy Spirit and the Father are reflected through Jesus Christ. So these attributes in Galatians 5:22 are the attributes of Jesus Christ in us. You ready? What is Jesus like? Glad you asked. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things, there is no law. That is your identity. That is who you are. That is who I am. That is who we strive to be. That is who we long to be. And the only way that that will ever be realized in our life is through relationship with Jesus. You becoming a new you, you becoming the true you, is not about you manufacturing your behaviors, forcing your life into this rigid pattern. No. You become who you really are. You become Jesus to the world through having relationship with Jesus Christ. You cannot be connected to Jesus and produce a bad fruit. If you are connected to the source, you will be fruitful and very fruitful, according to John 15. All you have to do to be your true self is abide in him. But abiding in him means we got to let go of the false identities that people have labeled us with. We've got to forego the negativity that people have spoken over us. We've got to let go of what the world has branded us. But the truth is that often we are our own worst critics. Look with me. This is the last place. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. I want you to look at this. Because see, it's one thing for the world to label you, and it's a whole other thing for you to label yourself. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. I'll show you what I mean. But Moses pleaded with the Lord. Oh, Lord, I'm not very good with words, and I never have been. And not now. Even though you've spoken to me, I get tongue-tied, and my words get tangled. Then the Lord asked Moses, Who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether they speak or do not speak? Hear or do not hear, see or do not see. Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say. This is amazing right here. In Exodus 4, Moses is no longer struggling with the label that Reuel's daughters threw on him. They labeled him an Egyptian. His own people labeled him a murderer. Now he's not struggling with the labels that other people have thrown on him, but now he's struggling with the label that he's put on himself. God has issued him a call, a mandate, stand before Pharaoh, and he says, but I am not good with my words. I'm not an eloquent speaker. Who am I, God? I can't do it. So he labels himself. Now watch this. Turn with me really quickly. This is going to blow your mind. Acts chapter 7, verse 20. This really is the last place. I'm not even playing. Acts chapter 7, verse 22. When you see this, this is crazy. Acts chapter 7, verse 22. Watch what the Bible says about Moses. Moses was taught all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was powerful both in speech and in action. Did you read that? Acts 7 says that Moses was a mighty speaker. He was eloquent. The Bible says something about Moses that Moses could not see in himself. And there are many of you in this room today, and you are your own worst critic. You have cut yourself down. You have sold yourself short. You have labeled yourself unable, insecure, unusable, worthless. You have labeled your own life with labels that are not true. Moses said, I'm ineloquent, but the Bible said, oh no, that's not true. Yes, you are. You are mighty with your words. You are mighty through me. And I've come today to tell you, those of you who are your own worst critic, when you criticize yourself, you are actually criticizing the work of a perfect and holy creator who fashioned you in his very image and likeness. When you criticize yourself, you criticize your God. Today is the last day you criticize yourself. Today is the last day that you buy into the labels that are wrong, that have misassigned and misappropriated your destiny. Today is the day that we surrender the false identities and we step in to the person of Jesus. Stand up with me all over this place and let's give the Lord praise like we mean it. Father, we thank you and we love you and we bless your mighty name. Today I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move across this place. And Lord, the labels, the lies that have been spoken over your people, I pray that today that they would fall off and fall to the ground, that their labels would no longer have a hold on us today. People who have struggled with the wrong identity for 10, 15 years, I pray that today that those who the Son sets free would be free indeed. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's worship and bless the name of the Lord in this place.